about to come to an end, and we're facing various challenges, different circumstances, and so on. And I just strongly sense in my heart today, I took a jog this morning, and I'm not such a fit person. And as I was running, there was a short distance to the stop, and I was like, oh God, I'm so tired, I can't anymore. And I just sense in my heart where God said, you know, you've run up to this distance, allow me to carry you now. And I really strongly sense in my heart that that's just what God wants to do, even during the praise and worship now, where we feel so tired. We should just allow God to just carry us now. Just give over everything that we have right now. I know it's hard letting go of one's heart and trusting in this big God and thinking, God, will you really make it happen? Lord, will it really come true? But I just sense in my heart the scripture that I have in my head that trust in the Lord with your whole heart and lean not on your own understanding. And as we enter into worship again, that we just let it all go, because this God is big.
Good morning, church. I just feel like there's this spirit of heaviness around us, and everybody's like really not free to worship or just serve God. And as we're worshiping, I just saw a vision of a field that is planted, and it's really fertilized and everything, and there are little plants growing, but the plants were like a bit unhealthy. And I just sense we should just let go of ourselves, and like she said, just trust God and just release everything that is in us. God is really able to carry us.
Good morning, church. I also share this in the Afrikaans service. The Lord gave me this verse this morning in my quiet time. And it's so important, you know, sometimes we as children of God, we become like the world out there. We have to, in many, many times, you have to do things that the world wants you to do to be accepted. But this is not what God's word said. He said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And it's time that we need to accept God's will for our life. It's time that we need to come to the point where you can say, no further, God, I don't want to go. It's exactly what Skola and Priska said this morning. Let us give my testimony is that for the whole time I wanted to confirm, for the past few years that I was back in Namibia, I want to conform to this world. I want to do what the world wants me to do. But God had talked to me and really speak the Holy Spirit in my mind in this conference that I need to do what God had called me to do. And if you have felt this morning a call for God, you know, in a conference, I think it was Rick Rousseau that said that every one of us, if you are a child of God, you are a disciple. That means you have to go out and you have to teach the word of God. You have to tell other people about God, the goodness of God. You are God's child. If you know that you know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, don't sit still. Go and tell your friend, tell your parents, tell your family of the love of God. Then you are a disciple. Let us not be conformed to this world. If we still do it today in our heart, in our mind, if we think we want to be like the world, let us stop it and let us be renewed by our mind. Amen.
I can also just say that in the previous service, the Afrikaans one in the worship, I really felt so revived during the worship. I really felt so energized again after I actually were really tired in many ways. And just to link in with this Wednesday night at our small group, one of the elders also, just before he left, he shared the word, you know, that we should be like 10 wise virgins with the lamps, that we should be ready. And especially at the end of the year, not take our, let's call it, our foot off the pedal, you know, that we keep on running till the end, that we don't now, you know, look away and maybe get distracted or anything like that. So I believe we're going to sing one more song. And I really want to encourage you, as we are here, you know, I came with a lot of things to church actually today in my heart. You know, and when we open our hearts to God and the Holy Spirit to minister to us and to, as David has said now, to renew us or heal us or whatever, the Lord will do that. Okay, so I want to encourage you all, let's stand now again. And for me personally, although I was the person that preached the sermon, the worship meant a lot more to me than the sermon. So I trust that it's in God's presence where we change. So let's stand and then we worship God and respond to this word that we had this morning. And strengthen us, Lord God. And I know it's hot, Lord, and it's the end of the year, Lord. But Lord Jesus, we don't want to take our eyes off you, Lord. We wanna abide more in you, Lord God. We wanna be close to you, Lord God. And when life is tough or things are going fast, Lord, and when we look outside and that stop sign is still a while to go, Lord God, Father, I trust that you'll strengthen our ankles, Lord, and our knees, Lord God, and Lord, that you'll refresh us, Lord God, because, Lord, nothing in this world, Lord God, nothing lasting, Lord God, can give us new life, Lord. But I pray, Father, Holy Spirit, that you will come this morning, Lord God, and that you'll fill us again, Lord God. And thank you that we can stand here, Lord God, and Lord, that we can just, every layer of protection or whatever might be around us, that we can peel it off, Lord God, and that we can invite you into our deepest, innermost part, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, that you can minister to us and that you can touch us and heal us, Lord God. And Father, I know there's so many needs out there, Lord. I've got needs. We've all got problems or challenges, Lord God. But Father, when we look to you, Lord God, they become small. Thank you that we can stand in your church, Lord. That we can be a body, Lord God. And yes, Father, just in your presence, Lord God, where we can align again, Lord God, where we can be made new again, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for every word that you gave this today, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for unity, Lord God, and just the way that you want to speak to us, Lord. And I pray that you'll lift up every one of us, Lord God, and that we can say it's by you strengthening us, Lord, not about anything that we can do, Lord God, that we will overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to be here again. Thank you, worship team. It's good to be back in Windhoek, and it's good to see you guys. I want to share a little bit today on the past 2 weeks that we've been away. And the first thing I think I want to say, you know, many times I almost want to compare it like watching a sports game, you know. When you look at something like that, thank you, ladies. And you look at something like that and your team is winning, and maybe you watch it with a friend, whether it's cricket or rugby or soccer or whatever game you are watching, you know, and you leave, then you leave with something in your heart like, we've won it, we are the team. You leave with a really good feeling, you know. But I wanna just share a little bit on the time that we still have available about the 2 weeks that we've been to South Africa and especially the Pastor Summit and the Shofar Conference. It's been really a blessing, and I want to tell you guys, we still have to work out a lot of logistics, but me and David, we were talking about it earlier in the week, and we really want it to be like a wedding next year. The next year at the conference, I think it will be around about 22, 23 of September, so it's just a little bit less than a year. But I want as much as possible people, to be there and to go. Not because there's something there that's not here, but it's really a wonderful opportunity. And I've just listened to a few testimonies of people that's been there. I really want to encourage you. So David said we would like to organize like a 70-seater bus and drive down and make one big event out of it. So let's see what we can do between now and then. It was awesome to see such a unity of what God, between the people and the speakers, of what God wanted to do. You know, there were charismatic people. They were Anglicans. They were young. They were old. They were evangelists. They were people from academic background, from Africa, from Asia, from the United States, from all walks of life, you know, and the theme were convergence, you know, and it was so wonderful to see, because many times you'll hear a joke that, you know, especially in my culture, they'll send three families to an island, and then you will end up with four churches and one sect. You know, we are so many times we just can't work together as Christians, you know, but it was such a testimony of, you know, God's grace and His goodness and what I believe He wanted to do, to see no one was preaching his own thing or blowing his own whistle or what you can call it. It was something that really built up and glorified, and we really want to see people there next year. Now, after the conference, we had the pastor summit for the week, and that was a blessing. And it was really nice to have some good heart-to-heart time. Just to give you a little bit of background, you know, we're really, God is really blessing us as Shofar Church. I think we grew about 20% last year. And as I said, every year after the conference, we have the summit. And with the kids, there were about 160 people. So we can't find even a place to camp anymore there for the summit. We are really becoming a lot of people. But that's just all the glory to God, you know, for what He's doing. It's definitely not something that we are doing. But, you know, I left there not with the feeling like, wow, My team has won the game. Even though there were 2,500 people and everything looked stunning, I spoke to one lady a bit earlier, and she said it, you know, it was draining. And what I believe she meant by that is there was a lot you could hear. Now, many times, you know, when someone says to you something really like, wow, you look beautiful today, then it's easy. You take it as a compliment and you live from that for a week. That's awesome. You look good today. Now you can live on it, okay? But many times when you hear a challenging word, you know, it's not just like you hear it and, okay, I'll do A, B, or C and solve it and go on. You know, for me personally, being a Christian are challenging. I'm challenged, you know, and listening, I see people nodding their heads that's been there. Listening to many of the messages, it's not like, wow, you are a great bunch of people and you're an awesome church group and this is awesome and that is awesome and the worship is awesome. It's like there's massive challenges out there. There's massive, for us as individuals, for us as a local church, there's so much that we need to work on, you know. And sometimes I stop and I ask myself, like, you know, what is God saying to me personally? I'm talking now not as a pastor, as a person or as a husband or a father. You know, we need to take a bit of stock about what's happening in our lives and where are we going and how are we doing, you know. And then most of the time, because none of us are perfect or sinless or anything, you know, we need to stop and say, well, I think I need to work a bit on this or that. I also shared the example. I remember once I spoke to a man quite a bit older than me, and I remember he said, you know, there was a time when his boys were about 15 to 17 years old that he can't give account of what was happening in their lives at that stage. He was too busy flying around all over the world, working day and night, things like that, you know. And that is challenging, you know. Sometimes something like that has happened, and then you just can't click your fingers and it goes away. Then you have to work on it. Like when you get to the, I see me and Doug and Jepson and Richard now, a few married men here, and sometimes you get this thing in your head like, oops, when was the last time you gave your wife flowers? Now, I believe in Windhoek there's a bit more grace because it's Windhoek, okay? I mean, look around you. There's many beautiful trees and grass, but flowers aren't the first thing you associate Windhoek with, okay? And then you think, okay, I need to make up a bit. You know, I need to work on this thing a bit. And this is where I want to share a little bit about, what I want to talk about it today. And, you know, also I made a joke in the previous sermon about, you know, the flowers. And sometimes I've heard pastors or dominees at weddings, they'll say, okay, men, turn to your wife, the married men now. There's a good example. They've been married now 3 weeks, 3 weeks. Congratulations. Okay, so I'm sure I'm going to use them as a case study if they don't mind. I'm sure on that day, Richard did say to Tanya, "You look beautiful. I love you. You look beautiful. I love you." And maybe even a few times more, okay? Because that's a special day. Ladies dress up. They always look beautiful, okay? But then the years go on, and it's sometimes good to challenge each other. When was the last time that you say, "You look beautiful, I love you"? Okay? So I just want to say a little bit, just like the, I see our banner as someone has, it has taken a few shots since I've been away. Yeah, you know. But on that, it says what our vision is. And basically, in short, we want to make disciples, we want to raise leaders, and we want to plant churches. That is our shofar vision. That's basically the big commission and to go out and stuff. But if I could just click my fingers, I'm sure all of you, sometimes we feel, if I can just click my fingers and I can receive this or that, then life will be really cool. You know. But if I, as a Christian, as a pastor of this church, if I could click my fingers and what I would just want, would like to have right now, you know, I almost want to say a little bit the vision inside this vision. You know, I would love us to be here in Windhoek, a big, healthy, growing, praying family church. Okay? I want us to be a big church. Not big that we can say we are big. Big, but because we are reaching people. Okay? I really, and you have to hear my heart here, I really would like us to have like a satellite church. I remember speaking to Auntie Doris about it one day in Katatura. You know, because ask Jenny's wife, Jenny's husband, Marius. Sorry, Jenny. Marius, going on evangelism. I've seen miracles happen and wonderful things. But Windhoek is a big place. And I believe there's even place for a satellite church, for another church. Just because logistically we live, you know, this town is big. Okay. And then when I got to this thing, yesterday afternoon we were packing chairs, we were carrying all the instruments. There's Ask Reinald, there's a lot of heavy stuff to do on a Saturday. And it was, as you guys know, it was quite hot. And I was thinking like, why am I doing this in a sense? You know, and then it just came to my heart, you know, I'm carrying chairs that people in Angola can get saved. Okay? And I might think, now, how do I connect this? But if you look at Namibia, okay? Hello, hello, everyone. Okay, if you look at Namibia, let's say north of Tumip, there stays about 2 million people. Namibia has got roughly 2.1 million people. Let's say 1 million people, the stats last year census says, live north of Tumip. Okay, that means 1 million live south of Tumip. Of the 1 million that live south of Tumip, between Windhoek and the coast, Swakopmund, Henties Bay, Walvis Bay, there's about 500,000 people living in those two areas. Okay, that means the rest, there's not that much people living. Okay, so in a sense, we never will say we are not going to reach the south or Gubabes, but we will probably not have a massive church in Tess or Asap. Who of you know where that is? Ooh, not a lot of you. You must drive to the south. It's on the B1, it's two towns, one on your left hand side, one to your right hand side, but they are small. They are Namibian small towns, okay? So it's just, in a sense, logic, you know? The Lord Jesus said we must go to the people. And the people, we are already, in terms of our vision, in Windhoek and Swakopmund. Now we just want to reach the people around us, but we want to go north, okay? In terms of heads, in terms of people. There's a lot of people living in the north of Namibia. And from there, I mean, we want to go to Africa, Angola, etc. Okay, but it starts here. It starts by carrying a chair here or serving somewhere or doing something here, you know, because the next church planter, it might be me, it might be not, I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know. But the person that might plant our first church might get born again here, that God will send in a year or five or in his wisdom to a place like Angola, or Botswana, or wherever, or to Rundu, or Oshikati, or wherever it might be, okay? And every little small thing that we are doing here has got a bigger cause in it, has got something, that's got something greater to it, you know? And sometimes we just have to to ask ourselves, what are we busy with? Why? Yes, we are here, and I can testify. I really can. Because I've said it in the first service, and some of you might be a bit shocked. I don't know. But you know, yesterday, this time, I really didn't feel like being here. I had a long year, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you know, but when we come into God's presence, things change, you know. And it's just like aligning ourselves, getting the compass, you know, working again, where are we going, where are we at, okay? And especially you young people, okay? I've said it before, but I wish I came to Christ when I was your age. Some of you sitting here might be the church planter in Angola or wherever in the world, you know? And it's something that we should always keep in the back of our minds. It's something really encouraging. And, you know, that's just, if I could say, give it to me right now, I would love us as a ministry, as a vision, to be able to move. Sometimes, you know, I get so frustrated with us moving slowly in a sense, but I guess I get the most frustrated with myself, you know. Many times you're going to think like, why aren't this happening or that happening, you know, but many times we are part of it in a sense. So basically, I think some of you might know that we've talked about it before, but I want us, except for having a place, you know, in the one side, I would us as a church to be like a hospital, you know, where the sick can come to. People that need help, people that need a bit of tender loving care can come to and receive healing. But on the same time, it must be like a bit of a battleship. You know, those big American or Chinese ships where the aeroplanes can land, you know, they can get fuel or ammunition or what they need, and then they can fly somewhere, go and do their work, and come back, refuel, go again. We must send people out in the town, out in the country, out in our continent to reach the lost, okay? People that are in need. And I can tell you, friends, there are lots of people in need. There are lots of, I've been just listening to, I mean, you've probably heard a bit more. We were here when that Pastor Abu Saad were preaching. Some of you were here. Did you enjoy it? You know, you would enjoy it. You know, they live in really challenging circumstances there in Jordan. You know, it's not the same as we have it here. We've got such a wonderful window of opportunity to preach to anyone and not get persecuted by the police or family or anyone out there. I would love us to have, and some of it that we do have, Kiddies Church, Bible School, Foundations, Divorce Care, whatever. We've got many ministries where we want to serve people, okay? But we want to send people out. We want people to be able to be healed here, okay? And another thing, when I was working here yesterday, you know, you're not going to give your time for something you don't believe in. But I believe most of you will be able to testify that you believe in church, that you believe in Scripture, because you have experienced Jesus Christ in your own life. I know what has happened in my life. I'm not the same person. By the way, it will be in 10 days' time. It will, then I'm spiritually 10 years old. Okay? 24 October 2002, that afternoon, I gave my life to the Lord. Okay? And at that stage, if you told me I would become a pastor, I would laugh at you. Okay? That's why you guys must be serious. Maybe it's God wants to use you in ministry as worship or full-time, part-time, working, anything. But be open to that. God wants to use all of us. I really believe you just need to say yes. I really believe it. It's not because I'm a great guy or anything. God uses us because we say yes. Now, and the time is going to catch me today, so I don't know, we're going to have to make sermons more time, church longer. Who vote that we must make church longer? There's a few hands. Ooh, awesome, I like that. Because I've got 8 pages here and I can't see that I'm going to get through it before 12. But I'm just going to share a little bit here and there on a few things. Maybe this is part of what I want to skip. But one of the words that did came to me, you know, when the past 2 or 3 weeks, you know, sometimes we go a bit into a box. And I think when I drove back from Swakopmund, where I preached the last time, I really felt tired in many ways. And I thought, I kind of just went into my box, not talking to anyone out there, not allowing a lot to come in. It's a bad thing, okay? And the bottom line is, after the conference and everything, you know, I came back and one of the scriptures that I read that really just hit me again is from Galatians. It will be up there, Galatians 2 verse 1, 2 verse 1 and 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed to be influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. Vain is there at the bottom. Now this is Paul. He's going to Jerusalem, to Peter and to John and to James. Let's call it the big leaders there. And he just wanted to see, listen, are we here on the same page? Okay, I believe, scripture says he's got his gospel from Jesus Christ, so he knew what he was doing. But he just wanted to see between, let's call it the Gentile church, the Jewish guys that they were reaching out to, that everyone was on the same page. And he didn't want a divided page or anything. And just imagine, it wasn't the case, but just imagine if the apostles, John, James, and Peter said to him, no, my friend, you're missing something. You're getting grace wrong, or you're getting salvation wrong, or anything like that. Imagine he was preaching for a long time, and now someone come and tell you, listen, you had it wrong all the time. It's, if I think at school, sometimes you were writing an essay, and then here's some where you find out now, oops, I missed it, I got it wrong. And then now you've probably written two pages, or do you use computers at school these days? Not yet. Okay, cool. I just thought maybe you are doing that. But what spoke to my heart is, you know, I've got a life here. God allows us to exercise and to watch TV and eat pizza or whatever we want to do in a sense, okay, without sinning now. But I don't want to run in vain. I don't want to, you know, just that because I'm standing here as the pastor of this church, you know, that doesn't mean I know exactly everything about future, what I'm doing. I make mistakes as well, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. You know, we need to be serious with each other sometime, you know. And I, in a sense, want to open the door to you to be honest with yourself and not be that hard on yourself for when you get things wrong, okay. But I also don't want to get to the end of my life and think, I've run this race in vain, okay? If I am allowed to use Prisca's example, she was running this morning, and imagine she got to that stop street, and probably let's assume she was running because she wanted to exercise. And there she get a fitness expert, and he tells her, listen, you did it all wrong. You ran in vain. She wouldn't be impressed. I mean, it takes a bit of effort to run. Someone told me this morning, you know, every time you get back from South Africa, you look a bit healthier, you know. I don't know, maybe it's because I visit my mother-in-law and we've got a good relationship now. I don't know. But I don't want to run in vain, you know. And this morning, I know there's significance in church. I know there's significance in worshiping together, in being in small group together. And I just want to testify on one thing, just to encourage you. You know, the past week, we have our main small group. You know, I was listening with my ear. Many times I've learned to listen to what people says. And I saw that the one guy said, you know, this and this, when I spoke to that other guy during this week, a guy in the small group. And then another one a bit later on said, but you know, me and that guy, we were talking about this thing in this week as well. And another one, and another one. And then I just heard, listen, these guys got strong relationship. And you know what was really nice about the small group? We didn't talk about how great we are. We talked about how many things we get wrong, in a sense. Okay? Not that we always want to say we are failures or losers or anything like that. It's just being honest. And when you're honest and you say you get something wrong, then we can minister to each other. Then the Holy Spirit can minister to each other. And it was so great for me to hear, especially after I've been away for a few weeks, to see how these guys interact, how they are brothers. You know, a few months before, I preached on being your brother's keeper. And I think, wow, these guys are getting it right now. It's really encouraging, you know. And I want to, almost starting to end off with, because it's 5 to 12 now, I want to talk just a little bit. I actually will probably preach on it next week about John 15 and the whole vine and bearing fruit and stuff. because one thing I brought back with me from the conference and the pastor summit in the context of being challenged is, you know, I want to say to the Lord, I want to make a conscious decision to say, Lord, I want to bear the best fruit I can. Okay, I want to, let me read to you John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. You know, now, fruit can be, and that's what a sermon actually is about, you know. It can be having the love of Christ, about making disciples, about glorifying God because you are obedient to Christ. But I also believe in all our different lives. None of us are the same, you know. God called us to do different jobs in society or in the church, okay. And your fruit, what God wants from your life, might look a little bit different from mine. Okay, except for the obvious things in terms of, you know, having Christian fruit, you know, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, those type of things, you know. So I want to encourage you here. I just got back and said, Lord, I'm clueless about a few things. I can't see in a sense how the church, not Shofar, but the church out here are going to reach people in time. I don't know exactly when Christ is coming back, but it seems that I've been hearing everywhere the time is getting less. Okay? So we're not doing what the Christian Family Radio in America are doing and setting out dates for when Jesus are coming back, but there's a good chance every day there's a day less to reach people. And then I just think about how many people I see, but, you know, do we lead them to the Lord? Okay, and it's easy sometimes to think, "What I'm pastoral, you know, I counsel people and this and that. Let's leave it to the evangelist." But Jesus said, I want to send you and I want you to bear good fruit. And I want to challenge you today to go to the Lord and to speak to Him about the fruit in your life. Because another thing I know I got wrong the last month. Sometimes, and I use the example because it came to my mind, those of you who comes from Chumepo, those regions, or Chukotu, Rizin, Presco, maybe you, in a sense. I was a little schoolboy and I went to a museum in Chumep. That's funny, but I did. And I looked at some of the pictures. And do you know, it was a lot like big trees, but open grassland. You know, and if you drive now from Chumep to Itosha or north, I mean, you can't walk there. So bush encroached it is. Okay, I don't know how those guys farm anymore in a sense, because it's like a jungle almost. Okay, and if you look at the agricultural aspect, the more bush, and let's call it rubbish bush, that's not good bush, okay, sickle boss and all those things, the more of that it comes in, the less healthy grass there is. Okay, and that means if you were to see animals, cattle as the fruit that must grow, it's not going to grow that much because there's less food. Okay, so if you have a 5,000 hectare farm 50 years ago, today versus today, you can only have less animals there because there's less vegetation. Okay, bottom line is those things come in because of bad farming methods. And in our own lives, sometimes because of bad methods as Christians, bad decisions we make, you know, the bush come in. And it takes over the good fruit, the grass, the things that are need to feed the animals. Okay? I hope you understand the point I'm making. But and also, you know, if you want to give a plant, especially this time of the year, if you want it to look healthy and grow and bear good fruit it's now spring, then you give it kunsmis, you give it fertilizer. You know, and I promise you, if you give it fertilizer and water, any plant will respond to that. Okay? So for us as Christians, you know, if Jesus say, go and bear good fruit, it's one of those things that aren't that optional. God is going to ask us one day a bit about our fruit. And then I don't want to, and I'm talking about me now, I don't want to say, but shoo, I ran in vain. I have this little fruities, but God wanted me to have this size fruit. Okay? So, and the good thing is, the good news I can tell you today, you don't have to bear those fruit in your own strength. It's not in your own strength. We've got the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can't make church. I mean, I really felt that the worship was blessed during the first the first church service. And then I spoke to the worship leader during the break time, and I said, you know, we're not going to fake it and try and duplicate what happened in the first service. We can't. I mean, we don't do that. Okay? But the thing is, God will do what He wants to do here in our church, because I believe we pray for that and we welcome the Holy Spirit. And in your own life as well, you don't have to break your head, think about what good person you need to be or can be or anything like that. You know, you can just follow the Lord. I read an article yesterday, and which I don't want to go too much into, but it was about planning. And planning is a good thing. But many times we can plan God completely out of our lives. Because you say, this year, in 6 months, next year, I want to do this, I want to do that. And which I'm not discouraging you to plan, okay? But plan with the Lord. Plan with the Holy Spirit, okay? Because when you're in God's will, you'll experience a lot of favor. You know, not just blessing all the time. Sometimes there will be tough times. Just go and read scripture and you'll see it. But I want to ask you also, you know, if you read this, and as I said, we'll probably look at it a bit more next week. The Lord says, abide in me. And that's, as I said, the good news, young people. You don't have to go and break yourself trying to be a good Christian. Okay? Abide in the Lord Jesus. Obey His voice of the Holy Spirit leading you. Okay? And ask the Lord about the fruit in your life. Because if I had to judge my own fruit of the past 3 weeks, you know, I didn't think I did very well. Just because I kind of shut down in some ways. Okay? And then you can almost see the fruit drowning. You know, it's like sometimes you get like a plant that's like a parasite. You know, it goes into a bigger, stronger thing, plant, and then it's almost want to, you know, kill it or use the energy from that plant. Okay? Don't allow parasites into your life, whether it's reading certain magazines, TV, cell phones, whatever it can be. Be careful not to allow things to kill you in that sense, because the devil doesn't come and he kills you on day one. He comes in slowly and he creeps in and he creeps in, and then sometimes you look back and you think like, whoa, I didn't have proper quiet time for the past week or 2 weeks or something. I want to read something to you, but also to me. And it's from one of my favorite theologians, Pastor John Piper. He's like a pastor to the pastors. And he says, we pastors deceive ourselves when we are so busy doing good things that we snatch a text and a prayer on the run and think that we will be mighty men of God and bear spiritual fruit. One guy was talking at the pastor summit, and you know, he just shared about sometimes, now there's a guy with a broken leg and you walk to him and you pray for the leg and now you wonder why it's not being healed. Okay? And that's a long talk on its own. But sometimes it's because 30 days of the month, you don't want to do that. You don't think about it. And then one day that happens and now you want to be the kind of a super spiritual Christian. You know, and stuff must be healed and happen like in the days of Acts. Okay? But many times we are so far removed from the Lord that, you know, I've been in this thing now a few years, and I've seen it's when we walk away from the Lord that the drought came in our lives. It's not Jesus that's doing something wrong. Most of the time it's us. Okay, I think I'm going to pause now, and I just want to end off, and I really want to ask you, go home and go and read John 15. I promise you, young people, go and spend a half an hour on it. Adults, go and spend an hour on that and ask the Lord to preach to you through the Holy Spirit on John 15. I promise you can get so much out of it. Now, and usually when I read something like that and I see, wow, the Lord wants me to bear good fruit, then I just get excited. And then I'm starting to ask the Lord, but what can I do? How can I do it? You know, and when you start to ask that question, you know, because the Lord wants to use us, He will give you, He will lay something on your heart. I'm just thinking about it right now. I completely forgot about it to put it on the announcements. But Liesl from, you know, some of you might have gone there. There's a foster home or an orphanage that we've been visiting. And we really, someone came with the idea, we want to give each child like a bucket, okay, with some gifts in for the end of the year, okay? And I think it's an amazing project, and I'll give you the information next week, okay? But, you know, it's like that. What can I do, Lord? Just put something in the bucket for starters. Pair of socks, milk, a book, something. Okay, there will be prescriptions. But whenever you say, Lord, what can I do? God will tell you something. Father God, we want to come to you this morning, Lord, and just thank you, Lord God, for energizing us again, Lord God, for touching us, Lord God. And Father, not saying it with a like a hope you would do it one day, but thank you, Lord, that I know, I can say here that you have touched people today, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, for touching me again, Lord God. I want to thank you for lifting us up, Lord God. I want to thank you for your word, Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for your ministry, Lord. Whether we worship 10 minutes or 50 minutes, Lord, or the whole day, we want to open it up to you and say, Lord Jesus, come and do in the church that you are building what you want to do for as long as what you want to do it. We want to walk after you, Lord God. We don't want to make church into compartments or boxes or anything like that. Father, I want to pray, Lord God, that we will abide in you. Lord, that we can bear good fruits, Lord God, and that we can be like the grass plants, Lord God. That we won't like be the unhealthy bush that's in a sense killing everything. Father, I pray that you will show us about the fruits in our lives, Lord God. Lord, I want to say to you, Lord God, that I want to bear good fruits, Lord. And I can't bear it from myself, Lord. I want to be planted and rooted in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you prune us sometimes just to bear better fruits and more fruits, Lord God. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that you brought us together here. I want to pray, Lord God, that you'll bless every family here, Lord God. And Lord God, all those words that we have, Lord, as we are moving towards the end of the year, Lord God. And I think many of us are looking forward for a time of a break or just a bit of breathing, Lord God. Lord, I want to ask, Lord, that we won't do that spiritually, Lord, that we won't close our Bibles and put it away for next year. I want to pray, Lord, that we won't do it with our prayer time, Lord God, that we will pray, Lord God, not just for a minute or two or read a scripture or two and think we will be okay, Lord. If we abide in you, we need to spend time with you. And thank you, Lord, that when we spend time with you, you talk to us, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as we are sitting, just one quick moment, if there's anyone here and you've got anything on your heart you want to talk to me about, if you feel you need prayer, if there's something that's really hard on you and you just feel you're not sure how to deal with this in the weeks to come, if there's anything like that, I want to invite you this morning. You know, I can't change the fruits in your life, but I would love to pray with you, okay? So have a wonderful Sunday. Be blessed. It's going to be hot. Enjoy the rest of the day, and I'm looking forward to see you guys next week here at the same time in the same place. If you feel you are one of those that needs a bit of prayer, I will stand here. Please come and talk to me. Amen, and have a wonderful day.